Blog Talk Radio.
It's too young to be on the bridge. It's too young to be sitting on the edge. Too young to be lost away. You're too young. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healing expert, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel, Love in the Blizzard of Life. Healing Through Love seminar leader and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today, I'm speaking with a delightful woman, Mona Ellithorpe, who has become a friend and a trusted colleague. As a widow with a daughter and two grandchildren, she started working online in 2008. Not knowing what she wanted to do, she eventually realized that she had been writing in one form of another or another for most of her life, including personal journaling. Prompted by the death of her very special husband, she wrote many journal pages and online articles, first to help her deal with her personal grief. She thought that someday when she was ready, she could share her journey with others to help ease them through their own hard times. And many of us run into lots of hard times in life. Mona Ellithorpe has become a prolific writer with many books to her credit at this point on Amazon.com, different book publishing sites, and several article sites. Since many people would love her assistance with their own writing projects, Mona has created a special writing group and private sessions in which she coaches her clients to start writing and create that book that's inside of them. So if you want to contact her, go to monaellithorpe.com, and it should be listed on the Blog Talk Radio page. Welcome, Mona.
Hi, Dr. Erica. Thank you for having me on your show.
I'm so happy that you're here, and I know a lot of people will really benefit from what you share with them today. So why don't we begin by you telling us a little bit about your background, your education and training, and your experience, you know, your ultimate journey that led you to the current state where you created this writing workshop.
I wasn't such a good student in school, but I always have written in a journal or a diary of some kind. Whenever I had problems or situations that were, you know, getting too much for me, once I wrote them down, it seemed like that it was out of my head, and then I could, you know, learn to deal with what I had to deal with. And I've done that all my life and didn't realize that that was, I think, what my purpose in life is to be, a writer, so I can help other people learn to do the same thing if they have a dream to write or even if they're just doing it for self-help.
Yeah, there's a certain power in using your hand and touching paper, but also even using the computer. At this point, which do you use? Do you write on paper with a pen or do you use the computer?
I do a little of both. I broke my wrist a few years back, my right wrist, So I don't do much handwriting anymore because it hurts too much. So most of my writing is done on the computer.
So
a lot of people, I do like the paper, but, you know, you do what you have to do.
Yeah, there's something about the piece of paper. But what I've discovered when you're moving it into a book, if you first write it on paper, then you have to first transpose it into the computer and type it anyway.
Right. Right, I'm doing that now on another book that I'm working on, one
whatever,
that I had started back years ago.
But whatever it takes to get it on paper is really great. So
right.
I have another question there. So what? How did you switch from writing journals to creating articles and then books?
Well, I have always wanted to work online, and I kind of stumbled around not knowing for sure what I wanted to do. And I joined this accountability group that you and I belong to together. And through talking with them and you and different sessions that we would have and meetings, it finally hit me one day that writing is what I've been doing all my life anyway. Why not, you know, go with it? And since I've done that, I've opened up a whole new world to myself and also learning how to talk with other people and help them out and kind of bring them out of their shell like I have myself.
So what was it like to, first of all, create articles? How has that been for you? Do you know technology? Was it a struggle? Just share a little bit about that.
I'm self-taught pretty much on the computer. My daughter got me started. And I've crashed 2 or 3 computers on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But just by trial and error, I pretty much figured out the technical part of it. And when I first started writing articles, when it was a specific topic, I had more of a problem writing. But if I would just sit down and do what I call free writing or brain dumping, you just sit at the the paper or the computer, and you just write whatever comes to your mind for 10 or 15 minutes, no matter whether it makes sense, whether it's spelled right, or whatever, just get it out of your head.
Yeah, I was
and
speaking
that's
to
basically what I've been doing.
Yeah, I was speaking to a young lady at my health club who was sharing with me that somebody criticized her a long time ago for her writing, and she's been so afraid that she wouldn't have the grammar right, and I was trying to reassure her that there's always people that can help you with spelling and grammar. The goal is to write your thoughts. Someone can even help you
right. Organize
it. Like, I know that you can help people with their writing. How would you help someone who came to you struggling with their writing?
Well, in my group, what I do is I add writing prompts. And, you know, I tell people that I'm just a country gal. I write like I'm talking to you if I was in my kitchen or in my living room. And that is basically what I try to teach the people who are in my group. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. You write what you feel. When you write that feeling and somebody reads it and they actually have the feeling that you had when you wrote it, don't worry about pleasing everybody else, because you're never going to please everybody else.
That's for sure.
Write for yourself and also, you know, with the intentions of making your reader feel what you did.
Mm. So can you give an example of a writing prompt?
For example, yesterday I posted one in my group, and it was just a very short one. It's, I'm sorry, I cannot remember the name of it for some reason. Let me look it up here. Okay, the prompt was a very, very, very short one. It's and it was provided by writing.com. That's one thing I always want to make sure to do, to credit wherever I get my prompts or anything like that. But it was, the line was, as the court is called to order, a shot is fired. And, you know, it was a short, however you want to do it, a poem, a short story, which I ended up writing, you know, maybe two or three paragraphs after that. And
so
it doesn't
saying,
matter.
Yeah, Mana, what you're saying is you give a little intro, a little statement, and then someone reacts to that, and that gets
right.
them started writing, rather than
mm-hmm.
a person looking at a blank piece of paper and having no idea how to start. This is
right,
like jump-starting.
It's interesting to see how many different responses you'll get to the same prompt. You know, maybe
oh,
someone
sure.
will go off different areas. And, you know, right now it's, I just posted it yesterday, so I haven't had any other postings yet. But I'm anxious to see what different areas that, you know, my other members, group members take out.
That sounds like an interesting book to create. Different prompts and then a whole bunch of different responses to it. That shows
yeah,
how
exactly.
every one of us, our brains, function in a slightly different way based on all of our own experiences.
Right. Like a lot of people, it was an article I wrote on my blog last week, I think it was. I talked to so many people. It says, oh, I blog, but I'm not a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, you are a writer. It just depends on how you look at it.
Well,
you know, I mean, there's different kinds of writers.
Right, and different genres that they write about, different forms in which the writer
right.
is
mm-hmm.
put down. So you noticed, you mentioned one thing. Can you repeat that again, where you got these prompts from?
It is from writing.com, writing.com.
All right, I'm saying it again for a reason, because people who have difficulty writing think that, you know, that someone who writes always has ideas, and you're showing that you get your ideas sometimes from other places like that. That stimulates
right.
an idea
uh-huh.
for you. What are some other ways that you get ideas for writing, for your own writing?
I pretty much get my inspiration from anything or anywhere I am during the day, from TV. If I go out to dinner, maybe I will see a couple sitting at a table that might, you know, in my mind I'm thinking what their life might be or what I could create their life to be.
So you make up little stories in your mind about the other people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever I look at them, and I, you know, they may be completely, totally different from what I see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I may write a story about what my interpretation is of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like one night, there was a man and a woman sitting there, and I'm guessing that he was her husband or her son. I really wasn't sure about that. But she was disabled, and he was having to feed her whole meal.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't written anything about that yet, but that's still stuck in the back of my mind, you know, for somebody to take a disabled person out in public like that. And, you know, that's got to be a special person to do that.
And I'm thinking as a metaphor that someone is emotionally disabled and the person is feeding them with love or with understanding.
Right, yeah. See, there's different takes on, you know, whatever you see. Everyone has a different idea of it.
So what kind of advice or recommendations would you give to someone who seems to be stuck? They want to write something, but they get stuck, and and they have writer's block and they don't know what to do next.
That, again, is where I suggest doing the free writing or the brain dumping, as I call it. A lot of times you'll think that you're in the writer's block, which you're really not. You just have too many things in your mind at once, and it's not letting, you know, the creativity come through. But if you do the free writing and you get all of this out of your head on paper or on computer, you can go back and you can maybe see a pattern of your own writing, of something that you can pick out where it would be a story or a poem or, you know, starting of a book. Or it may be just something that you hold aside for another time. Once you get that cleared out, then you come up with new ideas.
I'm finding something like that happening to me with my blog posts lately, because I write a blog at least once a week, and I used to pick a topic and focus on that topic. Now I seem to pick a topic, and then I start writing, and the end result is really nothing like the original topic.
Right, you go off, if you let yourself, yeah, you go off on different areas, and to me, that is much easier writing that way. There's not as much pressure.
Right, it's easier, it's fun.
And you're putting...
And you could just change the title to suit what you've written, as opposed to what
I've done that many times.
And that's when the writing becomes fun, when you're able to just write whatever thoughts come and let your mind explore different ideas.
Exactly, because you may surprise yourself what you come up with. In, like, you know, in the free writing, you may, when you go back and look at it, you may think that there's nothing but, you know, just trash that you've written there. But there may be something in there that's like, oh my gosh, that is the starting of a book that I could write. Or
right.
There's parts of a poem in there. You never know. The mind is, it's mysterious. Right. And you can, you know, all you have to do is know how to tap into that part of your creative side.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people tell me that they don't believe that free writing would do them any good, but that's their choice.
But they don't know
until
they try
it. I happen to believe it does a lot.
Yes. Julia Cameron wrote a whole book about that. I went blank on the name of the book, The Artist's Way. And she said to write 3 pages, and on the 3rd page you ask a question. And it's called automatic writing. And sometimes an amazing answer comes to you to solve a problem or to get yourself
exactly.
Writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have another question. Are there any specific writers, any particular people that influenced you or that inspired you or that still inspire you?
Not any one writer, I would say. More so, I like the type of writing from Diana Gabaldon and, of course, Stephen King. But... not because of their style of writing. I like the genres that they write about, the horror and the scary. And then, of course, Diana Gabaldon, she goes, like, writes back in time.
Oh, I love that, going back
travel,
in time.
Right, time travel novels and things like that. But I haven't really tried to make myself write like any other writer, because I'm not like anybody else. You're not like anybody else.
Right.
You know, your writing is going to be different. I just write like I would be talking to you right now. I'm on the phone or in the kitchen or wherever. It just, a thought hits me and I write until I... you know, come up with the end of it.
So you're giving one really important key to people, which is the key for everything. It's the key to handling your relationships. It's being yourself.
Exactly. Right. If you're trying to be somebody else, it's something that you can't keep up forever. It's going to come out. Your true self is going to come out sometime or another.
Well, but people are so afraid to share their true self because maybe when they were younger and they shared in some way, they got rejected. Or like my friend told me at the health club, she got criticized for writing. So people get afraid to share their writing.
I know they do, and I agree. I mean, I still do now. People criticize me for my writing, that, you know, it's not good enough, it's, you know, childish, or I couldn't understand it. I've sold enough books to know that some people like my writing, some people don't like my writing, and it's going to be the same with you or anybody else.
It was the same with me. I wrote my book. It was 550 pages, and I sent it out to some publishers, and someone wrote to me that it was like Touch 101, and someone else said, oh, we already have a book about sexuality like that. You know, they didn't even know what the book was about, but they criticized it. So I put it in a file box and left it there for about 13 years. And then with the Internet, I finally took it out and started sharing
it.
So I know what that's like to feel it's not good enough. So
right. Yeah, and the Internet does open.
I'm sorry.
I will say the Internet just opens up a world that, you know, most writers never have before. Most of the time they have to go through the big publishing houses, and we all know sometimes the publishing houses, they're not right. Look at how they criticized J.K. Rowling. She wrote
right.
the Harry Potter series. Someone, I think at one time, told Stephen King that he would never make it as a writer.
Right, and,
you know,
and so many top writers were rejected by many publishers before the book finally got out.
Right, exactly. And writing for, you know, self-publishing on Amazon, writing for yourself, you may not become a best-selling author right off, you know, the bat, but get your writing out there. Get used to presenting yourself to people. Get used to, unfortunately, getting some of the rejections or the people saying that you're not good enough. But if people buy your book, then it's worth somebody reading.
And you pointed out something. If you're writing, like you wrote about the experience with your husband, losing your husband, if that touches somebody else, if they feel the emotion and it helps them to feel better, what is more valuable than that? Is it more valuable
exactly.
to have a scientific research study out there or something that touches someone's heart?
Yeah. I did. When I was going through that, I had no idea whatsoever of putting anything like that into a book. I was just trying to write through my grief and some of the things that were happening. People would say stuff to me that were, they didn't mean to be hurtful, but like one of my articles that I wrote, people say stupid things in times of grief. They don't mean to, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I included some of the things that people told me, and I think by the time I ended up, I had like 100 articles to
wow.
get myself through, you know, the grief. And so that's what I put in my book, Bride to Widow.
So are all of your books nonfiction? Are they all stories about your life? Do some of them have research in them? Tell us about your different books, the types of books you've written.
Well, the books that I've written so far right now, The Bride to Widow, As I said, it's just a gathering of all of the articles and stories that I wrote, what I was going through myself after my husband passed away. The other couple of books that I have out, Guide to Leaving Your Guide to Leaving Your Internet Legacy. There's so many people that are working online, but the people that are not, like their kids or whoever would be taking care of things if something should happen to them, they may be losing money because you haven't left information enough about what you do online.
Oh, so
especially if you write books, there's still going to be royalties coming in.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So that for other people to know what you've done online.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I also have the other one, 10 Simple Ways to Avoid Financial Ruin, which is also written about what happened after my husband died. We did not cross all the T's and dot all the I's like we thought that we did. So I did not receive any of his retirement pay. There's a lot of things that we did not, we assumed and we didn't check on. Life insurance, that all we got back was, or all I got back was the monthly payments that we made in, paid into it. So there's a lot of things to think about, you know, especially if you are married or not married. You know, there's just so many things that you need to look out for. And it's not all about the money. It's just that, you know, if you want your loved one to be taken care of, you need to do this as bad as you hate to think about it.
And we do need money to survive in this world, so...
Exactly.
It is important. All right, so we're getting toward the end, and I have just a couple more questions. Like,
okay,
if you could share what you think is the hardest thing about writing and the easiest thing about writing, that might be interesting.
Okay. I think for me, the hardest thing about writing was when I started my writing group on Facebook. And I felt like that I could not tell them to write about their personal life if they want to, if I wasn't willing to put it out there myself.
Wow.
So I wrote a short report or a book that is a free giveaway when you sign up to my writing group. And it tells some about my life and things that I have never written before. That was very hard and scary to put out there.
But you did it.
But I did it. Like I said, I didn't want people thinking that I did not do what I asked them to do.
Right. So you're making
an
opening for others to do the same.
Right, right. You know, depending on what you're going to write. I mean, if you're going to write an autobiography, you know, there are going to be things that's going to be uncomfortable for you and whoever's, you know, involved in your life.
Right.
You just have to get the thick skin and decide if that's what you're going to do. You have to put it out there.
Okay, and then... just quickly, what is the easiest thing for you about writing?
The easiest, I think a lot of the easiest things for me is when I'm on the internet, I'll run across something and it reminds me of something that happened or reminds me of something I want to do or just a thought. A lot of my writings that I have on my site that I've written on Bubbaloos have come just from somebody saying something to me, or if I saw an article online and I wrote my take on a different pathway than what they wrote about, or my different opinion of it. And I do that a lot of times, just throughout the day. I'll veer off to my Evernote and write two or three paragraphs or whatever. And it may not work for anything I'm working right now, but I save it for later on. It may fit in somewhere else.
So you kind of, 24 hours a day, you have paper or you have your Evernote ready.
Exactly.
So that's a second really valuable tip, because you get these ideas in a moment and they're gone. So if you capture it and save it. So Mona, we're going to have to stop. So how can someone join your writers group? Where do they go? What's the name of it?
Okay, it's called Create Yourself Writing Workshop, and it's on Facebook. If you go to my main blog, MonaEllithorpe.com, there will be a link in the center top of the page to get you to the Facebook writing group. And
say the name of the group again so that people get it.
It's Create Yourself Writing Workshop.
Mona, it's just been delightful talking with you, and I know you have so much information and ideas and help to offer people. So thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me on your show, and I enjoyed talking with you too.
Well, I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. Contact me at Dr. Erica Goodstone for counseling, coaching, or upcoming courses, or to hire me to speak at your next event. And please check out my books at Amazon.com.